Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Paul was determined to go to Rome, knowing it would be a one-way trip. He would bring the gospel to high government officials, but while en route, a stormy shipwreck would slow his journey. Today, troubles on the way to see Caesar. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Erwin Lutzer is continuing a series on light shining in darkness, how the gospel impacts culture. We're heading out to sea, so turn with us to Acts chapter 27, where Paul sails into uncertain waters.
This is the last in a series of messages entitled Light in the Darkness, How the Gospel Impacts Culture. And today we're going to discover how the gospel got to Rome as we end this series. And as we stop to think of all that has happened, let you keep in mind that we're going to be talking about Paul on his journey to Rome and the storm that he was in. If you're here today and you are in a crisis, you have come to the right place. Because you are either in a crisis, you've just come out of a crisis, or God is preparing you for a crisis. And that's why you're here today. And we, of course, join not only with all of those here at the Moody Church, but the hundreds and perhaps thousands of people that have joined us today by way of internet, by way of streaming. We've heard from about 80 different countries, and we welcome you as well. Because all of us go through storms, and today we're going to learn how Paul did it and how we can do it too. But first of all, a little bit of background. The Apostle Paul was there in Jerusalem, you remember, and he was accused of starting a riot, and he was accused of desecrating the temple. Both charges were bogus. And as a result, however, to save his life, he was taken to Caesarea, and it is there in Caesarea that he stood before men such as Felix, Festus, and King Agrippa. And if you've been with us in this series of messages, you know that we discussed Paul's defense in the midst of these people of power. But Jesus had told the Apostle Paul that you are to bear witness to me both in Jerusalem and Rome. And so the Apostle Paul appealed to his Roman citizenship, and he said that he wanted to go to Rome, and to Rome Paul did go. And the Bible tells us that he left the beautiful harbor of Caesarea, and now we are actually in the 27th chapter of the book of Acts. Acts chapter 27, if you would turn with me there, if you would please, and it's on page 936. There are Bibles there in your seats, and you can follow along with me, 936. It says in verse 1 of chapter 27, "And when it was decided that we should sail for Italy, they delivered Paul and some other prisoners to a centurion named Julius." We're not going to read this whole chapter by any means. It is absolutely loaded with nautical terms, probably 15 or 20, many of which I did not know what it was even referring to. But if you're a person who is interested in boating, it'd be interesting for you to study this passage almost word for word as the book of Acts explains what happens, as Luke tells us the story. On board the ship, there is Luke, and there is Paul, and there is Aristarchus, as well as other prisoners, and of course, many sailors. And then the Bible tells us that they go, and they go past Cyprus, and then they come to a place called Lycia. We're now in the last part of verse 5, and it is there that the centurion found a ship of Alexandria sailing for Italy, and he put us on board, because remember, Luke is with Paul. Alexandria was the breadbasket of the world, and we can understand that this ship, which was loaded with wheat, was on its way to Italy. Now, the Bible tells us that they came to a place called Fair Havens. Fair Havens is really just off the coast of Crete. It says in verse 8, "Coasting along with difficulty, we came to a place called Fair Havens, which was near the city of Lasea." Now, I must read, and then we're going to put it all in context. Since much time had passed and the voyage was now dangerous because even the fast, that is a reference to the Day of Atonement, we're talking about October, was already over, Paul advised them, saying, "Sirs, I perceive that the voyage will be with injury and much loss, not only of the cargo and the ship, but also our lives." But the centurion paid more attention to the pilot and to the owner of the ship than to what Paul said. And because the harbor was not suitable to spend the winter in, the majority decided to put out to sea from there, on the chance that they somehow could reach Phoenix, which was about 40 miles away, a harbor of Crete, facing both southwest and northwest, and spend the winter there. Now, when the south wind blew gently, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, they weighed anchor and sailed along, just that far. Paul is going to encounter a storm. And this passage of Scripture tells us something about storms, and it really does apply also to the storms in our life. When you read it, you almost get seasick because of the experience that the Apostle Paul and his friends and the sailors and the soldiers who were aboard, what they had. We're talking here about a ship that is about 140 feet long and about 40 feet wide with 276 people, we discover. And on the way, they go. What I'd like us to do now is to look at some lessons that we can learn from Paul's experience here on the way to Italy, on the way to Rome. First of all, notice carefully that storms often come to us when we are doing God's will, when we're doing God's will. Now, there are some storms that we bring into our lives and they are our fault. Jonah, for example, his storm. The reason that he went through that experience is because he was a disobedient prophet. He was running from God. And sometimes we blame the pagans for our storms when really the purpose of the storm and the reason for it might be some disobedient Christian who is bringing this storm upon himself. But there are some storms that we are involved in that are not our fault, that are brought upon us by others. And that's what the Apostle Paul was experiencing here. You remember I read a moment ago that he was talking to the people and he said, "Let us not go because we are going to encounter a tremendous storm and destruction." And so Paul counseled them to spend the winter in Fair Havens. But of course, the man who owned the ship and the other people, they thought that they could take the risk of going at least as far as Phoenix, another 40 miles away, because this harbor evidently was not very good to winter in. But even so, it turns out that they are going to wish that they took the Apostle Paul's advice. Very much they're going to regret that they didn't. But now Paul is going to be in a predicament on the same ship with people who made a decision for him, and there's no way that he can get out of it because he's going to the same place that they are going to, just like you and I sometimes do in our storms. Maybe you're here today and you are in a storm that was caused by someone else. Some of you parents are in a storm that was caused by a child or your children. Some of you spouses may be here and you are in a storm that was caused by your spouse. I think, for example, of a woman who became party to dishonesty because she signed an income tax form that was dishonestly filled out by her husband. So she's in a storm, not of her own doing exactly, but a storm that is brought upon her by others. Now, what is really encouraging is for us to realize that whether you are in a storm today that is entirely your fault, or whether you are in a storm that was brought upon you because of someone else, some friend, some member of your family, either way, please keep in mind that God is there to help you. He's there to help us in the storms that we create and the storms that others create for us. There's a second lesson that we must learn, and that is that storms cannot hide the face of God. They cannot hide the face of God. Now, in order to explain this, we need to go back to the text to look at exactly how bad things were when they set sail. You'll notice it says, a tempestuous wind called a northeasterner, I'm in verse 14, struck down from the land. And when the ship was caught and could not face the wind, we gave way to it and we were driven along. Skipping a few verses, notice it says in verse 18, since we were violently storm-tossed, they began the next day to jettison the cargo. And on the third day, they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands. When neither sun nor stars appeared for many days and no small tempest lay on us, all hope of our being saved at last was abandoned. Wow, what an experience they were having. And you just imagine it now, all of their cargo is going to go. They are going to save some wheat. Later on, they throw it into the sea as well, as we shall learn. But for now, they're keeping back at least enough for food, even though the 276 people on board did not eat for 14 days, the text tells us. Now, it's not because they didn't have something on the ship that they could eat. But if you know anything about being storm-tossed and seasick, you know that your appetite tends to go away. And that's the kind of experience that these men on this ship were having. And so the sun was dark and the moon wasn't there. The stars were not giving light for 2 full weeks, 14 days, these men were on this ship. Now, in the midst of this, Paul has a good word. You'll notice it says in verse 21, since they had been without food for a long time, Paul stood up among them and said, men, you should have listened to me. Is there a parent who is listening today who has not said this to his child? Men, you should have listened to me and not have set sail from Crete and incurred this injury and loss. Yet now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For this very night there stood before me an angel of God to whom I belong and whom I worship. And he said, do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar. And behold, God has granted you all those who sail with you. Well, my friend, this is Pastor Lutzer. Isn't it wonderful to know that the saints of the past have also suffered sickness, shipwrecks, all kinds of disappointment? I've written a book entitled God, Why Me? And I want to emphasize that today is the last day that we are making this resource available. For a gift of any amount, it can be yours. Now, this book is accessible, readable. It is based on the book of Job, and it is intended to help all of us to understand that God has an overarching purpose in our suffering. Be sure to ask for the book, God, Why Me? And I also want to thank you in advance for helping us financially.
Erwin Lutzer, introducing The Light Shines in Rome, the final message in a series on light shining in darkness, how the gospel impacts culture. Next time on Running to Win, more on a shipwreck and God's messenger taking command. Pastor's book, God, Why Me? Lessons from the Life of Job, will be sent as our gift to you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.